Hi, this is Pastor Adam Matheny of Our Savior's Lutheran Church in Mankato. We are a member congregation of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod that strives to embody the historic teachings and practices of the Christian Church as found in the sacred scriptures. If you enjoy or have questions about this brief message, please get in touch with us. Our building is located at 1103 North Broad Street in Mankato. We have divine service at 8 o'clock and 10:30 on Sunday mornings, with Bible class and Sunday school between at 9:15. Again, this is Pastor Adam Matheny of Our Savior's Lutheran Church, and thanks for listening. Today's broadcast is brought to you by the Bergamon family, in loving memory of Hilbert Bergamon. Today's reading is James chapter 3, verses 1 through 12. Not many of you should become teachers, my brothers, for you know that we who teach will be judged with greater strictness. For we all stumble in many ways, and if anyone does not stumble in what he says, he is a perfect man, able also to bridle his whole body. If we put bits into the mouths of horses so that they obey us, we guide their whole bodies as well. Look at the ships also. Though they are so large and are driven by strong winds, they are guided by a very small rudder wherever the will of the pilot directs. So also the tongue is a small member, yet it boasts of great things. How great a forest is set ablaze by such a small fire! And the tongue is a fire, a world of unrighteousness. The tongue is set among our members, staining the whole body, setting on fire the entire course of life, and set on fire by hell. For every kind of beast and bird, of reptile and sea creature, can be tamed and has been tamed by mankind. But no human being can tame the tongue. It is a restless evil, full of deadly poison. With it we bless our Lord and Father, and with it we curse people who are made in the likeness of God. From the same mouth come blessing and cursing. My brothers, these things ought not to be so. Does a spring pour forth from the same opening both fresh and salt water? Can a fig tree, my brothers, bear olives, or a grapevine produce figs? Neither can a salt pond yield fresh water. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father, through our Lord and our Savior Jesus. Amen. So we were pleased, you guys, most of you didn't notice this, that which is just fine, but we were pleased to host our circuit meeting this past week here at Our Savior's. It happens about, you know, once a year-ish. And so all the pastors gathered here, and usually the responsibility of the host congregation, usually the host pastor, is just that we begin with a divine service, a worship service together, and then the host pastor is expected to preach to everybody else. So I was absolutely delighted on Tuesday morning to preach to all the pastors of our circuit from this line. Not many of you should become teachers, my brothers. I can read this to all of you guys, and most of you can say, well, yeah, that's just perfect because I'm not a teacher. But to that crowd, which also included our deaconess, Lisa Brand, but she's also a teacher in the church, I got to say to this crowd of teachers, not many of you should be teachers. But I was delighted to do that, not just for the irony of the situation, but because of the severity and the seriousness with which St. James writes this text. He says, not many of you should become teachers, my brothers, for a reason. For you know that we who teach will be judged with a greater strictness. What he means is that on the day of the coming of our Lord Jesus, when all the dead are raised and every single person will bow before him and give an account of everything that they have done on earth in their whole life, when the final judgment comes for every human person, if you endeavor to be a teacher in the church, then your judgment will be stricter. And so I just want you all to understand that this morning, that when I get up here in this pulpit
And I speak to you on any given Sunday, but particularly on a Sunday like today, I am aware and conscious of the fact that the things that I say to you are of great importance to me eternally. Because I fully expect to have to give an account to my Lord on the last day. I will have to look him in the face and give an answer for all the things that I taught to you who are his beloved and precious sheep. And so I want you all to know, just from the bat here, just right off the bat, that is something that occupies very much of my mind space on account of all of you. And so to that end, I guess I would just ask that you would please pray for me. But he's talking to teachers for a specific reason in this text, and you might have picked it up from the, you could say, fieriness, actually, quite fairly, of the rest of the text. He talks about the importance of the tongue, which, of course, is the primary tool of the teacher, is your tongue. And he comments quite beautifully, makes this this kind of analogy about how we can put bits and bridles into the mouths of horses. And by using those bits and bridles, we can guide their whole body. We put a little thing in their mouth, and now we can make them go wherever we want them to go. And he talks about ships, sailing ships, how you can have a giant big ship. You can put it out, not in his day, but in our day, out on the ocean. Can cross the whole ocean, largest body of water you can conceive of. And it can sail in these great, powerful, strong winds. And yet the whole thing is steered by a comparatively tiny rudder. Steers the whole thing. And it is the same, he says, with the tongue. And we all know, and I know, again, the importance of the words that I speak to all of you. I know the importance of those words when I'm standing here in the pulpit. But just as much so, I know the importance of those words when we have a conversation about all sorts of other things. What book are we going to read in book club? And what commentary do I have to offer on it? Do I invite you to come to the meal or don't I? Do I listen to what it is that you have to say? Do I offer a word in return or do I sit silently? Those words that I speak matter. And not just in the sense that they may be, doctrinally in line officially with the teaching of the church, but they make a difference to you. The words that I say do. And that is why I would submit to you this morning that the most important thing that I can do, particularly as a teacher in the church, is to let that bit and bridle that's in my mouth, let that rudder that steers the whole ship of all that I do, be the word of our Lord. What is it that guides me? What is it that leads me? What is it that directs me? What is it that leads me to say or to not say something, to say something as opposed to something else? And what it ought to be is the word of God. What that amounts to is that everything that I do in the world, absolutely everything that I do, from the minute that I wake up until the minute that I fall asleep in the evening, is guided by what has happened in our Lord Christ. It means that his incarnation, it means that his preaching, it means that his opening of the ears and mouths of those people who needed it while he was on earth. It means that his trial, it means that his suffering, it means that his death, it means that his resurrection and ascension guides absolutely everything that I do. And it means that every word that I speak, even if it seems totally unrelated to having to do with Jesus, is somehow connected to it one way or another. It means that the way that I carry myself in the grocery store is related ultimately to the message of Christ and what he has done for the world. This is my mission, or you could call it calling, as a teacher in the church. But brothers and sisters, In the second half where he's talking about the use of our tongues, I would submit to you humbly, or not so humbly, from this very pulpit, that in fact that applies to you as well. The words that you speak, the things that you say or don't say to those who are around you, those words, or lack of words, have power. They have effect. You know very well the power of the human tongue to build up and to tear down, to raise up and to lay low. And that is a power that is hard to control, to put it lightly, to paraphrase St. James. It is a restless evil full of deadly poison. With it we bless our Lord and Father, and with it we curse people who are made in the likeness of God. From the same mouth come blessing and cursing. My brothers, these things ought not to be so. So, brothers and sisters, you are not, by and large, teachers in the church. And so don't worry about being judged with greater strictness. I'll lose sleep over that. You sleep soundly. But in the same way, I would encourage you to bridle your mind and your tongue and your heart, to guide your mind and your tongue and your heart with the rudder of God's word. And that means that you need to be in the presence of God's word. You need to hear it, learn it, study it, and take it to heart so that you can take that word with you wherever it is that you go, so that also in the grocery store or at work or at Home Depot or wherever else you might go, that all that you do will be guided by that holy rudder, that the ship, you know, stays on course, that the horse stays on the track, that we are led and guided as God's people by his word every single day. So I commend to all of you God's word and its power, its ability to inform and shape your mind and your heart and your tongue, and to, through the grace of God, put out the fire that is set by hell in the tongue of every human person. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
I hope you enjoyed this brief sample of Our Savior's Lutheran Church. To learn more about our congregation, visit our website at www.oslcmankato.org or give us a call at 507-385-3000. 2180. Thanks again for listening, and God bless you.